name is John Gaimo. It is Wednesday, April 6, 2022. I am calling from Grand Haven, Michigan, where I reside with my two boys. I'm 52 years old. I will be visiting today with my one small step partner, Christine. Christine is 46, white Hispanic female, married with one child. She's a stay-at-home parent, about to return to the workforce. Her father dedicated his career to law enforcement. In 2020, she put a Black Lives Matter sign on her lawn where it remains today. She does not describe to any religion and can be considered agnostic. She feels very connected to humanity, and this connection fuels love for others and a desire to do good.
Okay. My name is Christine Booth. I'm 46. It is April 6th, 2022, and I'm in Fresno, California. This is my one small step partner, John. He is a mid-right white American who came from a lower middle class family, born into a non-practicing Catholic family, and moved towards Protestant in his mid-20s. Public school educated, put himself through college working part and full time, married a middle class spouse, has two children, one is autistic, currently divorced and single, never had any financial assistance for anything, college, medical care, special need child, and he is an industrial salesperson today. He failed in his own business attempt. So,
should I start a question? What the heck? Well, Christine, thank you for your time today. I think this is a wonderful experience.
Yes.
Why did you want to do this interview today?
I don't even know how I happened upon it, but I have felt like there's a lot of hype out there about people being polarized, and when I talk to people, I don't really find that that's necessarily true. And so I am very interested in kind of breaking through those barriers to highlight the commonalities we have, because it's a scary thing to think that we have two sides of the country that are against each other. And I just don't quite believe it. And so why did you want to do this interview?
Very similar, really. Two reasons. One was this polarization. I feel it all the time. And I feel it in my group of friends all the time, because many of my friends have different religious and political views, different from mine. And so I think a lot of it has to do with that. But the second reason when I was introduced to this is a friend of mine told me about a library, I think it's in the Netherlands, called the Human Library, where people go and sit and you can go in and talk with other individuals about their lives or their beliefs. And so this came about the exact same time. I'm kind of a fan of moral philosophy, just starting to get more into it. And I just would love to understand other people's opinions on issues that I don't get all the time. It seems simple, but they're very complex.
Yes, I agree. Yes. Let's see. I was interested in the fact that you distinguish between your wife's and your socioeconomic background. And
yeah,
so
that's interesting too. I find it interesting now. When I did the application, I think I was trying to write what I thought they wanted to know about me to choose a partner that would be, I really wanted to talk with someone that was significantly, or at least in a lot of ways, different than my upbringing, so that I could kind of understand. Because it's hard to understand what you don't understand. In other words, if you've never lived in a lower income family situation or if you've never lived. And so it's just hard for me to go, I understand. So that's kind of one of the reasons I think I wrote it that way. Mm-hmm. Was not so much as a, hey, look at me, I've made it, or whatever you want to call it. It was just more, I wanted to get that differential conversation started.
Yes. Yeah. And I appreciate that, because I do, sometimes I hear a lot of, I don't know, like what you would call it, but I understand like that people who have had to work their way to where they are, I understand being proud, but sometimes I feel like it's almost like you're not as good if you didn't have to work so hard at it. And so I grew up middle class, and so I never wanted for anything, although we weren't like, you know, we didn't take European vacations either. So we were, you know, pretty much the typical middle class, just, you know, all your needs are met and a little extra. And then, and I was not asked to work through my whole childhood till I was graduated from high school. Education was my father's number one priority, and he thought education was a job. So he financed me to do my job. And that's kind of how, and so, yes, I had it very easy. Not in a luxurious way, but just in, I didn't have to buy my own car. I didn't pay my way through college. But yet, I think I'm still like as valid as someone that did, and that we just, there's just a circumstance, like a different circumstance.
It's understandable. I mean, it's funny that I as much as I can stand here and tell you how self-made I am, I'm raising my son exactly as your father's raising you. To get a part-time job, and I'm taking care of his first couple of years of college. Mom's going to take care of his second couple of years, and he'll start this fall. And I get that. And I think what I loved about your profile was the last two sentences. I mean, there's everything. Yeah, loved everything. But I'm just saying, I think I've been online dating too much. What I love about your profile, I feel very connected to humanity. And it's interesting to me, because I'll be the first to admit it. My secular friends and my non-secular friends, my Christian friends and my non-Christian friends, or my friends that maybe don't identify as strong to Christianity, or maybe there's, you know, more of an agnostic or something that a belief in an intelligent design to the universe, if you will. They are not as, I feel, in a lot of ways, they're not as connected to humanity. They're the first to say, you know, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And so when I was that way in my 20s, and it's taking me time to grow. That's why I call myself mid-right, because, mm-hmm. you know, there are people that don't have the wear of it all to put on a coat when it's cold outside. Yes. And they need organizations and assistance. They need assistance. Mm-hmm. I think for me, and this opens up a whole can of worms, we talk about the polarization that we're experiencing within our, with, at least with me, with my friendship circle, and what you're reading or hearing about out there. It's just so hard. I don't know if it centers on, you know, the president before this one. I don't know if it's because of Twitter and everyone's ability to throw their opinions out in 2 seconds after something hits the mainstream media. I think for me, it just harkens back to all the way back to our education system, where we teach children today, outside of homeschool, you go to junior high and you learn about how you want your team to win. You go to high school and you learn about how your team needs to beat the other team, and you keep growing in that. And then when they come out of high school and they go into college, we say, hey, here's a two-party system. And everybody wants their team to win.
Yes. That's true. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I don't feel that way, but I understand, like, that when you make the reference to school and, like, what kids are taught, and then at the same time you're trying to teach commonality and camaraderie, but then it's like, but also go kick their butt, and, you know, it's not okay to lose. So I get that. Let's see. I don't participate in social media, and I never have, because I'm very kind of, from the beginning when Facebook came out, I felt very, like, paranoid about what the whole thing was, and so I never tried it, and I'm happy not being part of it, and I do think it affects people, and I'm concerned about, like, my son is 8, and he's going to probably want to participate in it, and I don't know if that's healthy or not. I really don't. But there was something else you said. Oh, you were talking about your friends of different religious backgrounds. I find myself being, like, very tolerant of people that are religious, but I don't feel like the same, like, back to me. And I even feel like people think, are disappointed or feel like I'm a threat when they learn that I'm not a believer. And that makes me really sad, because it's just not, like, I've heard people actually say, how can you possibly have a moral compass? And I say, well, I don't know, but it's just been inside me since I've been alive. You know, like, there's just an instinctual, there's some kind of barometer that, you know, tells you in your gut if something's right or wrong, plus what we're taught. So I can see how that can go really wrong if you're taught some really ugly things. But also, I know people have overcome some really ugly situations knowing that there was a better way. And so I've always had this desire to, like, I don't know, stand in front of a bunch of, like, religious people and say, like, you don't have to be afraid of me. Like, I really, like, agree with most of what you agree with. I just don't believe in a higher, like, being or something. But all your values that come from the Bible, they're pretty universal. We're taught them whether we want to learn them or not, and they're true. So we just disagree about where they come from, and that's really it. And I feel like we're all more on the same mission than we seem to be. And we get caught up in little arguments, like you know, all the ruckus about public school right now. And I'm just like, having a kid in public school, I can tell you, it's not as scary as it sounds. They're not teaching him anything weird so far, like, or what, like, I think any average person would think is weird. It's very, it's kind of scary how, like, it's put out in the media about, like, what, I even have siblings that have pulled their kids out of schools because you don't understand what's happening in schools. And I'm like, what's happening? Because I haven't heard about it.
I know. That is, and it is interesting. I went to public school. My wife at the time, ex-wife now, wanted the kids to go to Christian school. So both of my boys went to Christian school until high school. And then it was just a disaster. Christian school was just not an environment for that was healthy for my oldest. And he was pulled out and put to public because of those reasons. That club mentality. If you are not in league and in step with every belief system that is to their doctrine, then you are on the out. And when you're on the out, you are on the out. And I can totally feel for what you feel a little on some of that through the Christian school system. It is it's disappointing because I always say God is God and man-made religion. And it is disappointing to see how these groups come together to not only segregate themselves outside of, other individuals, but also there's a lot of that conspiracy theory. It's kind of funny. You said you didn't feel safe with Facebook because you were kind of like concerned about the information and such. I can't tell you how many of my far right conservative friends are scared to death to report anything on the internet about anything because they're worried the government's going to find out.
Oh, okay. And the government. Uh-huh.
And I find it interesting. We're all very concerned about all that stuff to a degree. It's hard for me in where I am today with my faith and my Christian walk, because I do. There's a lot of amazing people out there, and the church teaches us how not all roads lead to heaven, but just amazing individuals, caring, concerning. I mean, my son told me 3 weeks into his first week at public school, he said, "Dad, we're doing more for the community at this school in the last 3 weeks than I've done at the Christian school for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
So there, you know, it's just, I try to tell my son about the noise. There's just so much noise out there. And it is, and the media, is, you know, as some comedian once said, it's almost like they want you glued to the screen every minute of the day. And they do. And I do participate in Facebook. I only tweet out or tweet. I only post uplifting stuff. I try to use it as a positive influence. I don't, and I did when I was young, make a mistake of trying to even have an opinion, because there'll be 20 people that just never, I don't have enough self-esteem ever to have an opinion on Facebook. So I just post uplifting stuff when I can. But well, let me ask you this, because this is an interesting, as I look at my, where I'm at today and with my kids, and I understand two things. One, you're right, being white, like you have a Black Lives Matter sign on your lawn. And there's half of me that goes, you know, all lives matter. And then the other half of me that goes, well, you know, when my 16-year-old son was driving, or 18 now, and I'm at home and I'm laying in bed and it's 11 o'clock at night and he's not home yet. And I think to myself, oh my gosh, maybe he got pulled over. My thought process is, well, you know, they'll reprimand him or whatever he did wrong. I'll either get a phone call, they'll pat his head and send him on his way home. And with a story to tell. And with if I was a Black man little sleeping in my bed, I'd be freaked out. Oh, I mean, I'd be laying in bed 11 o'clock at night going, oh my God, did my kid just get pulled over? And so I get that there is a completely different situation for both. I struggle, and I'll give it back to you. It's like holding back the ocean with a broom. When it comes to religion, Black Lives Matter, transgender rights, I just feel like there's so little I can do. I can be tolerant, but that's about it. I mean, I just don't know what to do.
No, I agree. Yeah. So, well, that's exactly why I put the sign up, because I felt so small. And I have always been interested in civil rights. And when the Black Lives Matter movement first started a handful of years ago, I kind of got, like, it caught my interest, because I thought, okay, like, maybe this is something I can get into, because I've always felt a deep conviction for the hardships of Black Americans. And I don't know why, it was a natural thing I just was concerned about for me. And then my sister adopted a Black child. And so now I have a Black family member, and I'm sitting around watching going, oh my God, like, my sister's trying to protect her. She sees the Black Lives Matter signs and the protests when they were going on. And she's like trying to tell my niece, like, don't worry about all that, you know? And I'm thinking like, well, it's exactly about her. So anyway, so I'm trying to learn to be, and I've done a lot of reading and all that. And I'm trying to learn how to be a support for my niece as she grows older. She just started high school. because I can't imagine what it's like to be a single black person in a giant white family, where no one ever talks about it. And so I just foresee some trouble ahead as far as her growing up and figuring herself out. And I'm trying to do my best to, in the meantime. And so as far as the sign, I was home with my child in 2020 with him online at school, and all these protests and stuff are going on. And I thought, oh man, you know, I should be out there. Like, this is kind of my passion. And I couldn't, or I guess I shouldn't say I couldn't, but I wasn't willing to, because my son at home. So that was my way of, I thought if I just put the statement out there that it would at least spark conversation, emotion. And I was never, it was never meant to spark any negative emotion, although I knew it would probably. No one said anything to me. The only thing anyone's ever said is, has anyone given you any trouble for the sign? And I said, no, in fact, like, no one's even stolen it or so I'm feeling pretty good about my neighborhood right now. Like, we're very like kind neighbors, and I've always tried to be an example in our neighborhood of like what neighbors are supposed to be like. And so I feel like people, even though, you know, we're not like 1950s neighborhood, everyone knows each other, but I feel like people kind of get the sense that like, we're not here to like bother anybody, or I just have a really strong opinion about this thing. And then let's see. Oh, well, I come from a law enforcement background. My father, he was a police officer and then a federal agent and then a police academy instructor and then a criminology instructor. So
do you own a gun?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gifted a shotgun from a boyfriend long ago, but my husband currently has added to the collection and we have two safes. And I don't, I am pro gun control, but not anti-gun. Mm-hmm. I've just been around them my whole life, that it's almost like a piece of furniture to me, and I've never seen it as a danger. Growing up with a, you know, a dad like I have, you know, like I always felt very safe. To me, the guns meant protection. I don't know if I could ever actually use it. I've used it in sport. And so I don't have any, yeah, that's one of the things where I kind of like, I don't like labels because it doesn't explain someone.
Sure.
And so,
I only asked the question because, you know, mm-hmm. I'll share. So as you took a stance and put a sign out for Black Lives mm-hmm. Matter in your front yard, I've never owned a gun here at the house because my son is autistic and I was always concerned about having a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Black Lives Matter protests began, they put protests at all the different cities near me, and in Grand Rapids, 40 minutes from us, they smashed all the windows and a lot of damage mm-hmm. and threats and fires to the storefronts mm-hmm. on the main street. And where I live in my city, I live on above the storefronts. My apartment and my kids are above all the storefronts of the main street. So I never had one. Now, since defunding the police and Black Lives Matter, I now have gun safe. I have guns. I have taken my CPL license. Mm-hmm. I don't carry actively, but, you know, 2 years ago, I wouldn't even consider it. Or before COVID, I would never considered it. Now I felt I needed it. And that's what's, it bugs me because you took approach with your sign. And I think that's, there's nothing wrong. You're sweet and you have every right. And I don't disagree with you 100%. I wish mm-hmm. I would have. I got scared. And you got bold.
Well, I guess so. My husband, you know, in the beginning was like, we're going to get a rock through our window or something. And I have worried about that a little bit, but mostly, and I think it's my dad's influence. I've never walked around afraid. Really of anything. Actually, I'm afraid of dogs more than people. and Yeah, I just, and I'm, it makes me sad that people feel that they need a gun to protect them. My husband does as well. He feels safer with guns. I was ready to give mine away because I don't have a strong opinion about one way or another, but he, you know, feels safer. He wants to get his concealed and carry. And that's fine because that's his thing. I see the likelihood of ending up in a situation where you actually need to pull that weapon out and use it and everything's going to work out as like being so minuscule. And so that's kind of my take on it. And it's not so much about values or anything. I just like rationally, I just think like, that's just such a small, there's such a small chance that you're going to encounter that, number one.
Right.
Although I understand that you did experience violence near your home. And I haven't. Like, my city's just very, like, although it's has a, if you want to statistically talk about it, it does have a higher crime rate. But fortunately or unfortunately, it's kind of goes up and down, and a lot of the activity is gang stuff. And if you're not involved in gangs, it's really not your problem. And I feel bad even saying that because that makes me like, you know, like I'm over here and you guys are over there, so not my problem.
I understand how
that sounds. But it's my reality, and in my neighborhood and in most neighborhoods, middle class and above here, you just don't have to worry about random, or I would should say, like, when not that many people show up for protests and things around here, and I don't know why that is, but things certainly aren't going to get that rowdy where fronts are going to be broken.
You're Bay Area, right?
No, it's Central Valley. It's
okay. All right, yeah. So I was born in Mountain View.
We're right in the middle, and
but I was only there 6 months. We moved home to Michigan, okay.
So actually, we skew a little conservative because of farming.
Gotcha.
And we always have a weird, what do you call it? Hypocrisy going on because we have the farms and the farmers who are the employers. And then we have the workers who are often illegal and they know it.
Gotcha.
And they don't support the workers. They need them. Right. More than anyone.
Yeah.
So it's weird. It's weird. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, my brother lives in Austin. Similar scenarios. I mean, it's funny because my town is very safe. Honestly, it wasn't Black Lives Matter that scared me as much as defund the police. Defund the police made me nervous. They were just happening at the same time. It became a kind of a perfect storm scenario, and that's kind of where what it kind of led me to that to where I am now with guns, which I really wasn't planning on doing. I won't carry. I won't carry either right now in my life. Just because of the idea of I'm not trained. I mean, let's be honest. I'm in a movie theater. Someone pops up with a gun, starts shooting people, and two other people pop up with guns. I don't know who shot who. I don't know. I got three people now in front of me with guns. Two of them are nice people. One of them is the assailant. I can't discern all that. It's a lot of responsibility. I don't
it
know
is.
If I will ever come to. I it hope is. I never have to. I get your area though is not so much in Fresno, but I'll tell you, I am becoming very weary of the homeless attacks. And I look at Sacramento, I look at Philadelphia, I look at New York. Do you have issues with homelessness? I mean, it seems we're getting a big rise in that.
Oh yes.
And that's what makes me consider carrying, quite frankly.
Only
I would ever consider carrying. You know, if I want to take a walk in my neighborhood and there's a lot of homeless people living there, I don't have that problem here, but I would consider maybe at that point.
Yeah. Our problem really started during the Great Recession. That's when panhandlers started, you know, standing on the medians and that kind of never went away. And then the homelessness has just exploded. California's, I'm sure you've heard, the price of living is just increased and increased. And Fresno is one of the last affordable towns. And the rent here has gone up 24%.
Wow.
And I don't know what that means for our future, but I do know that we have a huge impoverished population. And I'm not sure how they're going to fare. So I know that's part of the problem of homelessness here. When I think about homelessness, I think it's either a mental health issue, a drug issue, a combination of both, or there's that rare person that just is like wants to be off the grid and just leave me alone, let me do my thing. Because I've actually, my parents' neighborhood had a guy like that. And it was funny because the neighborhood kind of took care of him because he didn't bother anyone.
We had one too.
Yeah. So, but we get these huge encampments now.
Yeah.
But our mayor is the former police chief. So he, and it's funny because he was not so popular like to me or in a lot of people, but he proved me wrong. He's been a very good mayor. He's very proactive. He really tackled issues from the start, and one was homelessness. And so what they do here, because they were living like up on the freeways, and then you know the trash flows down and it's all over, and then there's tents everywhere, and I don't mean all over the city, but in sections here and there, just they randomly pop up, and sometimes it's near people's homes, which is not okay. Anyways, they go out every, I don't know, they go out on a regular basis, talk to each person, offer them a place to stay, and then, you know, they let them know you can't stay here. There's going to be a crew coming through and cleaning up, so you need to move on. But it's a continual effort, and yeah, they probably put a lot of money into this.
Yeah.
And so we also have, like our homeless shelters go out, or you can call and say, you know, there's this person that's been behind my office, and you can call one of the shelters and they'll come out and talk to the person and see what they want, you know, to get out of off the street, or if they want to get off the street. And it's been working. Like, we had friends drive up here from another town, and they were just like amazed, like how clean the freeways have gotten.
That's good.
And because if you drive north, you actually will see homeless encampments actually on like the major freeways and stuff. It's really crazy.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, so this is why I don't know, you know, I'm jumping to whatever question four, I guess, in a different way, which is the political views and political values. And, you know, for so many years, I tried really hard to always vote for a presidential candidate based on maybe two or three things I believed in. I don't have to go through all of them, but one of them was always, I wanted a smaller federal government. I didn't want a bigger federal government. And I don't know if that's right or not, but I will say it from this perspective. If we have a smaller federal government, I think there's ways that your mayor can be successful in what they're doing. And if we have a bigger federal government, then the federal government wants to do it all, and they dictate to the states and cities, and it just doesn't get done. And so that's where it kind of leads me to vote some of the direction I vote, because some of these solutions to me need to be solved at the local level. And I think a lot of people are expecting the government to just take care of everything. And I just put that on you, because I'm just telling you, that's why I vote Republican typically.
Okay.
And I don't know, you know, where you vote, don't need to know. I'm just kind of laying that out there.
Okay. Just a minute. I'm going to get my dog. And... Sure. So I don't know what to think about the federal government right now. I kind of wish we could like create some kind of law where everyone decides like, okay, everyone's there, we're just, you just thank you for your service and we can start over. I don't trust the federal government to get a whole lot done. They just seem very tied up in their own interests. So no, I don't count on them to do anything worthwhile, because I don't know the last time where I felt like, oh, good job, like that's gonna help.
I know. I know. It's funny. It's funny because like I didn't love the Trump administration and I voted for him. I liked the Obama administration and I didn't vote for him. So it's interesting. Yeah. And now we sit where we're at, and I'll be quite honest with you. If you give me Trump versus Biden in the next election, I'm not even sure I'm going to vote. I have no idea what I want to do. So we got about 10 minutes left or so. And I'm just kind of thinking, well, Christine, one of the things I was hoping to get from today's conversation is not a, you know, you and I are not going to solve all the world's problems, but I tell you, I am phasing myself out of being involved in this. I'm learning to be an ostrich in the sand. I'm a happy little ostrich with my head in the sand, and so sorry things aren't working out for people. And that's a horrible way to live. But I don't know the answer. I don't know how to even approach this problem in a not just positive way, but just it doesn't even have to be positive, in a way that would actually make reform or changes.
I don't either. It's it just seems like such a huge mess at this point. And it seems that the people that should be in office have no interest in doing it. And the people that are there for, you know, the title. And I voted back and forth. I voted for George W. the first time. Okay. And I voted for Obama, and then I voted for Biden, but it was only because Trump actually, like, literally, I'm afraid of, like, he seems very narcissistic, and I literally don't think he cares about anyone. So I found him a bit scary, as far as he's just so like, oh, you know, like, I'm just going to do this today and that. Yeah. And honestly, the way he talked about women when he first was running was so nauseating to me. I just thought I couldn't vote for a man that speaks like that and is not apologetic for it. And
I get it completely. Yeah. I mean, it's not my proudest moment, I think, in a lot of ways. Many of the people that voted for Trump voted, it wasn't really voting for Trump, it was voting against
Clinton.
But you know, the sad part for me is not just where we are. So I look at COVID, and it's, I mean, 50% of the country doesn't want to get vaccinated for COVID. I don't know if you did or not. I did. I just think there's an underlying thing there. It tells me that 50% of this country doesn't trust the government, doesn't trust any information that's coming out of it. And I think it's just a bigger, deeper problem. Everyone thinks there's a conspiracy. Everyone thinks there's no information that people want to stand on. Every time you get one piece of information from one news source, you get the opposite. I read two newspapers in the morning. I don't even watch the news anymore. I just try to get a flavor for what's going on.
I was sad.
I thought, same. The whole COVID thing to me was sad because more than half of my friendship circles felt it was this huge conspiracy, and all the information coming from the government was completely designed to, I don't know, some nefarious long-term plot. And I always kept telling people, if there's really this black, you know, group out there, what do you want to call them, this cabal that can run a world with, you know, seven different terms of presidents, I say they should run they should be in charge, because that's a lot of co-organization.
Yeah, COVID was weird to me too, because I'm just like, I'm more science minded, so I'm just like, vaccine, of course. I take every vaccine that's offered to me, and I didn't used to get flu shots, but I do since I was pregnant. I just didn't get it. And I also had friends and family that decided not to. And I had to, like, I came to a crossroads where I had to decide, like, does this matter to me enough to not have these people in my lives? And I thought, no. I'm not giving up my friends and family over this issue that is just ridiculous. And however they got to that opinion, maybe we can talk about sometime. But, you know, I heard about families, you know, breaking apart and stuff. I thought, no way, that's not happening to us. Like, I will not do that.
I will say that I swear COVID became more of a topic than religion. I think you could, or in the 70s, walking in with a person, you know, dating somebody not of your race or something. This was a highly topic, and families and friendship circles were broken and may never be repaired. And and it's just hard for me. I don't know how to get information, because everyone's got an angle in the government. And, you know, I look at, like, I even look at this recent push for a fourth vaccine. You know, will you go so far as a fourth vaccine? Or do we feel like at this point we're just putting money in the pockets of Moderna?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I never caught COVID. And there has to be a possibility that it was because of the vaccine, because I've been exposed. I don't think the vaccine's going to hurt me, so I have to err on the side of my own safety and the safety of my family over worrying about the pharmaceutical companies, which of course is a whole another topic, because I don't think anyone is a fan. And I was the first in line to get my son vaccinated, you know, like I couldn't wait to get him vaccinated. I'd never felt more relief in my life when I got my son vaccinated when he was 7. It was just, I don't know. And I don't know if that was just made up in my mind, but, you know, I took a microbiology class in college, and I think it was one of the most important classes I've ever had, because I really understood a lot more about how all the, how viruses and bacteria and everything work. And I think that was a really good foundation for me to go into this and make decisions and kind of, like, just brush away all the noise. It's like, you know, like,
No, it sounds like that was educational. Yes.
Knowledge is always a great.
All right. I'm told we got less than five minutes for our closing statements, but I just wanted to talk one quick other topic.
Yeah.
And because I don't know the answer on this one as well. It's part of me says that maybe it'll bring our country together. Should we enter Ukraine? Should we protect Ukrainians?
I think we should. I've thought so before when we haven't, you know, gone in to defend other, you know, countries and other situations, a lot in the same area. I think Putin is so dangerous that... I know it's said that if we get into it, it's World War III. And I've also heard that said that we're already in World War III. So it's more like, how do you want it to play out? I lean towards yes. What about you?
I lean towards yes. I think with the genocide and what's happening with the Russian soldiers and they're just slaughtering civilians, I think yes. Do we follow this all the way to Russia and try to take Putin out? I don't know about that. That's a whole other topic. But personally, I think this is beginning to brew up just like the Holocaust of World War II. And you don't know about it until 10 years later. And I just hate, you know, being... And I don't say that lightly. I've got an 18-year-old kid.
Right.
You know, so I don't just go, hey, we should all go to war. But I do think that... I hate to say it, but the world looks to us when there's bullies. And if we're not there to help, then, you know, it's just becomes the bully's world. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but as selfish as I guess I am, I always say I'd rather deal with these things on their soil than ours.
Oh, yes. Yes. And I think, yeah. I forgot how old you are, but are
52.
We about the same? Okay, so we're close to the same age. But I think we grew up with that pride of, like, we're a superpower. And that doesn't have to mean something bad, like some people might take it. But we're that for a reason. So
yeah, we lost our citizenship somewhere along the way. With our kids,
yes.
Such as generations of figures. I go back to Captain America in the 1940s comics, but that's where citizenship came. You know, a lot of that was taught into our kids. But
and all right, we have 1 minute left. I see promising signals from younger people, though. I feel like they are more immersed and invested in each other and the world at large. And so I have hope for the future in the younger generations.
I think that's what we agree strongly the most, Christine. I do too. I think it's easy to say this generation's lazy and this generation doesn't care and aren't good citizens and they're all about themselves and this and that and they're freaks. And I say to myself, well, that's what you called hippies in the 70s.
Exactly.
I think this generation will figure it out. They're going to figure it out.
And not